The fourth annual Allen Ginsberg Memorial Open Mic Poetry Marathon has come to a close at 5:39 this morning at the Northwest Spoken Word Lab in Auburn, Washington, 36 minutes short of the record. And we can begin to look forward to next year's weekend. This year, the visiting poets have been Anne Waldman and Andrew Schelling. Of all the people in the world, they may be the best suited to participate in a tribute to perhaps the most important poet of the 20th century. Anne Waldman ran the St. Mark's Poetry Project in New York for over a decade. She currently teaches and is Distinguished Professor of Poetics at Naropa University's Jack Kerouac School of Disembodied Poetics in Boulder, Colorado, a school she co-founded with Allen in 1974. Author of over 30 books and pamphlets, Anne's latest book is Marriage, A Sentence. Her latest CD is Alchemical Elegy, produced at the William Burroughs Virus Word Lab at Naropa. Andrew Schelling teaches poetry, Sanskrit, and wilderness poetry studies at Naropa. One of the world's foremost translators of Sanskrit, his latest books include The Cane Groves of the Narmada River, Erotic Poems from Old India, and The Road to Ocosingo. This weekend, they have impressed me anew with their brilliant work, their breadth and depth of knowledge of the history and the future of poetry, their consciousness, compassion, and most of all, their commitment to easing the pain of living through poetry and poetry activism. After all, everything else is just drunken dumb show, as Allen once said. Anne, Andrew, thanks for the weekend, and thanks for being on the program again.
Thank you, Paul. We're happy to be here.
Yeah, well,
and a delight to attend the marathon last night.
Well, yeah, it was quite an event, and seems to keep getting better. You know about activism. You know how this is about. I'm not telling you anything new, but it's tremendously satisfying. And thanks for setting a new watermark for the event. SPLAB was co-founded by a Naropa grad, Danica Dinsmore, and this place is, in one sense, a testament to your work at Naropa, where poetry activism is an integral part of the teaching there. Do you feel projects like SPLAB are what Allen had hoped would be created by people who went to Naropa?
Certainly, and Danica's a shining example of someone who really got that transmission. You know, we have an outreach project where students are going into the community, working in prisons, working with the elderly, working in schools. Danica naturally had a impulse and compassion toward, you know, others, particularly working with the younger students, the high school kids. And we were thrilled when, you know, she got this program with you off the ground. It's tremendously exciting. I always hold her up as a great example of what can be done.
Yeah. And when you think about Allen, 4 years
definitely.
Ago.
Definitely. Allen was, think of how active he was on all these fronts. And, you know, till the day he died, he was working on political issues, on issues of censorship, traveling all over the world, reading to all kinds of groups, young and old, you know, particularly concerned about poetry getting to younger people or people who were, you know, in these other kinds of environments where it was a lot more difficult to come by these things. So he was so active outside the academy. I mean, that's been one of the important missions of our program, which, although we are now an official university, accredited programs and so on, graduate programs, we're still very much fringe in a lot of ways. I mean, economically, of course, but and I think our MFA program in poetics does present a different kind of view.
Oh, that's something I'm certainly going to get. I'm going to be driving at, no question about that. One of the themes I want to touch on. But, you know, when we talk to potential funders about the work that we do here, one of the things we say is that we are merging arts and social services here at SPLAB. Now, one problem is that the arts foundations can say, well, we don't fund social services,
right,
and vice
right.
versa. So that's one of the problems we have. But Allen talked about poetry as something that was intended to ease the pain of living. And,
right.
you know, we see all the high school shootings that just tear us up as individuals when we hear about them on the news. And not only when we hear about them, but when we hear about another one happening.
Exactly.
You know, one
yeah.
very close to you in Colorado and, of course, recently in San Diego. And You know, with all the high school shootings and the other acting out that doesn't get the same kind of press, how critical is it for young people to have outlets such as this one, and not just for writing, but also other opportunities for creative, whether it be visual arts, photography, or what
Absolutely.
Have you?
Absolutely. Crucial. There's a tremendous hunger, yearning, idleness. People are so isolated. They're presented with the, you know, media of culture, entertainment culture, which is not entertaining at all. It actually makes you more desperate and more hungry and more repressed. So obviously, I think this is an area, it should be a whole field of study and a whole, you know, a whole mission to get teachers into these other kinds of environments, creating these other kinds of projects. The schools are not doing their jobs.
Also, the mainstream media presents these prefabricated images of what a hero is about in this culture. And somebody like Alan constantly presented an alternative, which was really about asking questions and interrogating the culture all the time. I think one of the great lessons for him is that he gives permission to people to be confused and to work things out, which is what youngsters really need at this point, rather than have pat answers given to them through the mass media and everything simplified or dumbed down. Somebody like Alan would talk to anybody at the highest possible level that he could reach them at. And that's what I think the youngsters really want at this point, is people to treat them as equals, dignified in a way, and let them give expression to their creative impulses.
Calling up Henry Kissinger and talking to him about the war is one example. Isn't it one story maybe
yes,
you could tell about
yes.
that?
Or challenging Helms, the head of the CIA, to a wager over whether the CIA was in fact dealing drugs in Southeast Asia. And Alan evidently wagered his own Vajra, a Tibetan, you could call it a magic wand, but a power instrument, that he was betting against Helms. And if he lost, Helms got the Vajra. If Helms lost, Helms had to agree to sit meditation for an hour a day.
And did he?
He did not, but Alan won. It became clear after the publication of the great book, The Politics of Heroin in Southeast Asia, that there was a great amount of CIA complicity in the various drug lords and dealings in Southeast Asia.
Had Jesse Helms actually sat for an hour a day, that might have been enough to push him over the edge.
Might have.
Alan, also in these states of compassion and frustration, would, you know, literally get down on his knees, sort of weeping and sending out these messengers to the warmongers and profiteers, and including Henry Kissinger. You know, would his Buddhist training actually, you know, suggests that you don't create, and you know, you don't see the other as enemy, and you try to work with them. And in fact, every time you're doing your practice, you're also visualizing your worst enemy. So he had Kissinger on one shoulder, Helms on the other shoulder, and would be taking them along, and was open to some sort of, you know, human discourse and mediation. And I mean, extraordinary that way. You know, speaking of negative capability, the great Keats phrase, which is also somewhat the motto of our program, but that was something Alan actually lived and embodied, and, you know, it was questions, as Andrew said.
And also his great sense of humor, which I think divides a lot of his political activity and especially his political poetry from the strident work of so many people who write political poetry. Alan recognized the importance of humor, and that humor, in a way, was one of the great tactics, especially if you could direct it towards the young, because you could win allies for certain causes by showing the absurdity, the preposterousness of the behavior on the other side.
We're talking with Ann Wallman and Andrew Schelling of the Jack Kerouac School of Disembodied Poetics, located in Boulder, Colorado. I'm Paul Nelson. Let's talk about that for a second, because we've got these posters up for your event all over the Puget Sound region, and even though kids respond to them and some actually show up, there's something about Alan that really resonates with young people, even just the name. You know, even myself, going back to my very, very early limited poetry studies at the community college, they said, pick out a poem out of this anthology and try and figure it out. And I picked out an Allen Ginsberg poem. And there's something about Alan that really resonates with young people. Is it that anti-authoritarian sense that we saw in Howl and a lot of other of his work? Or what is it, do you think?
I would say that, and also his the actual writing, the vivid description. It becomes very, it's very tangible. He's also got the, you know, the logopoeia, the dance of the ideas. It's very much, you know, content. There's a lot of content. There's also, you know, great sound and great passion. Of course, when he himself would deliver, he used music. He would pump his harmonium. He would sing blues. He would sing, you know, rags. He could get it on. He wasn't afraid to be a fool. And you had this, you know, up until he died. He died in his 70th year. He was out there singing and making the work accessible. But I think something, the quality of the writing, you know, the particulars, the details, the logics, you know, it was so sharp and smart and, you know, wildly creative and surrealistic at times, and yet had something very graspable.